Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Marymeadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler. Today's episode is going to be about my personal opinion of jumping into selling flowers in your very first year and deciding if this is for you. So I am involved in probably, I shouldn't say I'm involved, I don't know what the word is. I belong to about 10 different cut flower groups on Facebook. And it's really funny when people are like, hey, I'm going to get started, I'm going to sell, I'm going to have a business, and what do you guys think? And I have noticed a major shift in the willingness to be helpful and give helpful feedback. And trust me, it is a fine line because it's kind of funny how it bounces back and forth a little bit. Like for a while it was okay, give information. And people were so excited and they would give advice. And then for a while it's like, well, I would love to give advice, but I just don't have, you know, this amount of time. And that's where I fall in, right? I offer a lot of free advice with the podcast. And then I never planned on starting my coaching business, my consulting, my courses, but basically all that my courses are, it's a summary of the questions that I get asked all of the time with a really in-depth answer. And you might say, well, why don't you just record that and release it to the podcast? And the answer to that is it's complicated. It's complex. If someone is going to be taking my business advice, I want them to be successful. I want them to have a little bit of skin in the game. And truly, if I am taking time, you know, 10 hours a week to answer emails or answer questions, I will devote more time if it's a part of my actual job, basically. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. But people are posting like, you know, how would you do this? And how would you do that? And the one thing that I've found very negative is people saying, well, you shouldn't sell your first year. You shouldn't sell your first year. I have opinions on everything, obviously, but I think it's going to be really unique to the person. But I think that if your goal is to start a business, then I think go ahead and sell your first year, because in what industry would we say don't do it? And it's relatively, when you're just starting out, if you already have the land, if you already have this, already have that, to have a garden and sell the bouquets out of it, it's let's face it, it's relatively low startup cost for direct seeded annuals that are, you know, cut and come again, like zinnias and even, you know, snapdragons or status or some things that you start in seed trays. It's relatively low cost. Now, if you're going to flower farm to the scale that I do, where you're buying a bunch of plugs and you have dahlias and you have high tunnels and you have irrigation and you need to scale to the volume that I have and you got to cut down on your expenses to make it more profitable, then of course, no, it is not a low cost input cost, but it's two very, very, very different ends of the spectrum. And I'm not even the highest end of the spectrum. I'm somewhere on, you know, the upper average, or I don't even know what you would call it. But I think that if you want to sell flowers and that's your goal, then you should go ahead and sell them right away. And again, I'm probably going to get some hate for this. And, you know, there's a lot of cut flower farmers that are extremely successful that never grew a garden until they started selling them. And I think that that is just fine. I think that their goal is to have a business and to sustain something off of their own property, whatever it might be. But I think identifying their why and figuring out, yeah, is it advisable to start selling them your first year of gardening or flower farming? So we're going to talk about the pros and the cons and just also, you know, the importance of pricing and knowing your target customers and the risks that are involved in premature selling, because it doesn't come without risks. So I think first of all is finding your motivation. So just do a little self-reflection and start with why. Understanding your primary motivation for growing flowers. And is it for business? Is it for pleasure? Or is it for both? Then you need to figure out your business goals. So is your end goal to establish a business? And if that's what it is, then selling early could provide valuable marketing insight and start building your customer base. Now, keep in mind, your end product that you have in a couple years is probably not what you start with growing. And that's okay as long as you just keep doing some self-reflection along the way. And we're going to talk about what that means in a little bit. But also, yes, you absolutely do have to have a passion for gardening. So for those that are interested in the process of gardening itself, a trial year might be more fulfilling and allow you to really fully learn and experiment without the pressure of sales. If you're someone that does not like to get your hands dirty, doesn't like the humidity, doesn't like the dirt, well, of course, then you should probably try out growing flowers first. But I feel like you're not going to blindly get into this if you don't like being outdoors. So I think that that's okay. And so if selling is a pathway to get to your goals, I think it's okay because early selling can help jumpstart your learning curve in business operations, customer service, marketing, and it's essentially the skill that you need for a successful flower business. So, you know, early sales can be a form of market research, refine your product line, just get customer preference, customer feedback, help you identify who your target customer is. If you put something out there and you know, try to do a little bit of background, but what the price is, figure out who's coming back to you and then say, okay, how do I find more people like that person? And, you know, just build your network. So early engagement with customers, it can lay the groundwork for those long-term relationships and they can give referrals and they can, you know, tell everyone that lives in their neighborhood or tell everyone that's on their hockey team. So maybe, you know, starting out with a farm stand, starting out with farmer's market, starting out just posting on Facebook, say, hey, I have some extras and selling, you know, 5-10 bouquets a week. Maybe that's all it is in selling in your very first year. But I think there's pros and cons to both. Again, you can get immediate feedback from customers and that can guide your growing practices. No one says you have to have the perfect product and grow the perfect thing. But if you get feedback of they like these things, okay, then grow more of those. Or if they're saying, hey, it's, you know, the vase life isn't as long or whatever, then you learn. And it also, most importantly, I think, is that it generates an early revenue so that you can reinvest into your farm. And it helps quickly identify which flowers are more in demand and it can, you know, help you adjust your plans accordingly. The cons, of course, there is a potential for lower quality product due to inexperience, which can impact your brand and reputation. It also can cause more stress and pressure to deliver, and that might detract from the learning and the enjoyment of it. However, I think if your goal is to have a business, you're either going to be good at the business or you're not. I think it's okay to get started. Yeah, don't bite off more than you can chew, but if you can't handle a little bit of pressure of people saying, oh, I didn't like it or this or that, or it's too much for you, well, then you're probably not going to be able to scale up and it's probably not for you anyway. So you might as well rip off the Band-Aid and find out if it's for you. I don't know. That's my thoughts on it. Taking a quick break from the episode to talk about QuickBooks. I used to use a payroll company because I W-2 my employees, because if you're in Minnesota, you know that you can't get away with just 1099-ing someone when they should be W-2 because of all the new sick and safe laws. So having an established payroll system in place is your best bet, and I do it all through QuickBooks. I used to pay this company like $70 a month, and I still had to send the amounts and the hours to them, and QuickBooks just does it for you. It would take me 10 minutes to send that email, and now it takes me 25 minutes total. I mean, there's my $70 a month that I used to pay this accounting firm. So the best part is my employees can handle all of it on their end, entering their personal information, like their social security number, their bank account, all of that, and I don't have to ever see it. So I cannot stress enough how great QuickBooks is if you need to do a payroll. So head to the episode notes, and you will get an exclusive 30% off for 6 months offer if you use my code. This is 20% off more than you will ever find on the regular website. So make sure you use my code. Thanks. So, you know, if you decide that it's best to give yourself a trial year, then, you know, it's going to give you that time to work out the kinks, understand, you know, your exact growing environment. And I absolutely think that that is the best way to learn, is by getting your hands dirty, figuring it out, Also, finding as many resources that you can, if you can afford it, I think finding someone that's going to summarize their mistakes, their things that they would do different, whatever, in the form of coaching or a course, like I do, I think that it is a huge return on your investment, but you don't have to do it that way. Like, I firmly believe anyone can figure out everything that I have done through trial and error and time. And I saw this quote that was swirling around social media, and it said something like, you know, you either pay for it with your money or you pay for it with your time. And if you're willing to pay for it with your time and take a couple years to figure it out, that is absolutely a totally fine way to do it. That's what I did when I first started out. I wish that there had been something available to me to give me truly the shortcuts. And I think that we get the word shortcut has a bad reputation. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with smartly skipping ahead the line, you know, figuring out not making the same mistakes over again. But it also, selling in your first year gives you the opportunity to try, or sorry, not selling in the first year gives the opportunity to trial different flower varieties without the pressure of having to fulfill orders. And if it fails, you know, what do you do? And then, you know, I think going into it with the expectation of, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see how many we get and then try to sell them. Is it a great business model? No, but that year one is, you know, that's kind of what, you know, combination of trial and selling what you have. So, you know, you can build a solid foundation of knowledge and skills, and that'll help benefit your business in the long run. But of course, if you don't sell right away, you're going to have no income coming in. You're going to have to cash flow it again, and possible missed opportunities to establish those early relationships with customers and vendors. It's hard to know, like, you know, the market research, and I've had so many people say, oh, I was the first one in my area, and then overnight other people popped up. Well, I doubt they popped up overnight. I'm sure they've been dreaming on this dream just as long as you have. And whoever said they were there first is who gets to be there first. That's kind of how it works. But that's okay, because you have to find who is for who and figure out the target customer that you serve is going to be totally different from someone else, and figure out how to set yourself apart from that. Now, I think it's really, really important, if you are going to sell your very first year, the importance of setting prices that reflect the value of your product while still being competitive, and trying to find your target customer. Who are they and what are they looking for? What is their need? And then adjust as you learn for the product's value to your customer base. Meaning, if you sell, you know, a bunch of Lysianthus and dahlias and whatever, but you're trying to sell a $15 bouquet, the expense and the time behind the scenes that it takes to grow that flower, you need to sell it more to make it worthwhile. Now, if someone only wants to pay a $15 bouquet, do not take a $30 bouquet and mark it down to $15. Just grow a $15 bouquet based on what your customer base is going to pay. Now, it's going to be really hard if you start selling those expensive premium flowers that should be worth a lot more money, and you start selling them for a buck a stem, when a florist pays a wholesaler $1.70 a stem for a snapdragon. Literally, florists will pay wholesalers $1.70 a stem before they upmarket it to the customer. So why are you selling it for half as much? You can't. You can't profitably do that. It's not a long-term goal. The amount of time, the amount of hours behind the scenes, it's a recipe for burnout and working for free. It's really hard to take that pricing and trying to catch up over a couple years if you have the same customers, because all they're going to see is that you're raising your prices over and over again. So I think there are a lot of risks also that need to be acknowledged of selling before you're ready. And so there could be a long-term impact of introducing a product before it really meets the quality standards of what you want your brand to represent. So, you know, if you have to work really hard to change your product and improve your reputation because of a poor initial offering, that's not worth it. And so just try to mitigate those risks if you choose to sell your first year. I still think, you know, you're either going to have that confidence or you're not. You're either going to be able to do it or you're not. I do think that it's incredibly figure outable. I think smaller volume, higher quality, just depending on how much time you have to devote to it. if this your goal is, no, I've got 30 hours a week to put to this. Okay. All right. Go for it. If you have 5 hours a week or 10 hours a week to devote to this total, all right, well, then you've got your garden and your vegetable garden, add some flowers, and maybe you can add a few bouquets at the same time. So figuring out how much time you have to devote to this goal is also going to help you be realistic on what you realistically can sell. And at the same time, figuring out that work-life balance does not exist. Balance as, you know, a mom or whoever does not exist. You're going to have to rob the time from somewhere. And I firmly believe that as a parent, as a sister, as a daughter, or whatever it might be, your relationships, your friendships, you can have it all. You just cannot have it all at once. And a lot of times I have to remind myself, you know, it's not my turn. It's not my turn with my kids. It's not my turn. Like, it's their turn. And the reality is, if I'm taking time away from something, it's coming from somewhere. It has to come from somewhere. And so how much time do you reasonably have? And what does that look like? I think that it's important for you to weigh the pros and cons based on personal circumstances, resources, and goals. So remember the importance of learning and growing, whether you choose to sell. It's that first year is your learning period. And you can learn about growing and you can learn about selling while you are doing it. What bugs me is when people are like, oh my gosh, you got to focus on growing. You have to focus on growing. Okay, well, can't I do both at the same time? And, you know, there's all those, you know, you can only focus on one thing and you can only be good at one thing. It's kind of like when Josh passed away and I kept being told, you know, focus on being a mom. You got to focus on being a mom. I'm like, okay, but I can do other things at the same time while I'm focusing on being a mom. I mean, it was just the unsolicited advice that people, you know, they thought I was taking on too much. They thought I was doing too much when really I wanted to say, you know what, just because I'm capable of doing more than you doesn't mean you have to make me feel bad. That has always been me my whole life. I'm working 30 hours a week while getting my bachelor's degree. I'm working and having a baby while I'm getting my doctorate degree. I'm working full time while I'm running a marathon. I'm writing a book. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I am just capable of doing a lot. And just because someone else can't do a lot, they have to make me feel bad and say that, well, just focus on being a mom. No, I can. I promise I'm good. And so that's, I think, what bugs me when it comes down to it is when people say like, well, just focus on growing. Like, what am I supposed to do? Stare at this snapdragon while it's blooming? Like, you can do both at the same time. Now, do I think that you should shoot a goal for 100 bouquets a week? No. Do I think you should try to have, you know, the perfect profitable business market, you know, as you can and your profit margins figured out right away? I don't think that that's going to be reasonable before you've ever grown anything ever. But, you know, we put all this time into focusing on growing and we say you have to just get your hands dirty and that's how you figure it out. Well, okay, well, what about with selling? And why can't you do both at the same time? And I think the other part that I find very, very interesting is, you know, in what other sector of business would we give that advice? So if someone was a baker, would we say, give everything away? Do not sell your cakes. You know, if you're going to do cakes for a birthday party, you're going to do cookies, you're going to do, you know, whatever it might be, you're going to do some custom catering, like you're going to make balloon arches, you're going to make it whatever, you should do it for free for a while. Don't sell, because, you know, just do it for a while. And then once you get good enough at it, or once you've worked out the kinks for a year, then you can start selling. No. If someone was a contractor and they're, you know, they're hired to build a deck, it's like, well, you should work for free for a while until you do it. Or you should, you know, you should go intern somewhere for free before you end up, you know, before you ask for money. If you're, you know, if you're going to get it paid, you want to learn how to be a, I don't know, a cashier at Walmart, you should definitely do it for free for a while before you start getting paid. No, I don't think so. And so, I mean, I get the sentiment in both. I understand that most people's intention is probably not as in-depth as I'm saying it. But the point is, if your goal is to have this as a business, ask yourself, if I'm not going to sell flowers, if I'm not going to have a cut flower farm, if I'm not going to generate a revenue, if I'm not going to have XYZ goal, whatever your goal is. So you set your goal and you work backwards. That's what I teach in my Peddling Perishable Products course. We figure out our why. We paint that why in as much detail as possible. And then unfortunately, we got to put a dollar amount to that why, because life is expensive and the life we want. And then we work backwards. And then I show them how to figure out exactly like how much revenue you need to generate. And then that's what you build your business around. And so I think, you know, if you say, well, like, yeah, I'd have a little garden, but I wouldn't grow all of these different things and experiment with all these different things. And maybe your goal is just to sell enough flowers to have your hobby. Then of course, sell some while you're at it. Do some for a baby shower. Set up a farm stand at the end of your driveway. There's a lot of ways to have no pressure sales when you have no pressure about like the revenue amount. If you say, you know what, my goal would be this and, you know, whatever, but if I don't quite make that enough, you know, anything else is icing on the cake. And if you can truly be there without getting in comparison, getting yourself hard on the goals, then I don't understand why you wouldn't sell right away. So I think that, you know, the best way, if we say the best way to learn is while doing, yeah, I think you should have a more detailed, you know, once you're starting to really get into, you know, if your goal is to cut back on your hours at your day job, to quit your day job, to have X amount, you know, if they're a very specific goal, then of course you need a very, very outlined business plan, or you should. That's how you're going to get there the quickest. But I still don't think there's anything wrong without selling them your very first year of growing them. I just don't think it's that hard. I really don't think it's as hard as you think it is. I mean, if you've grown a veggie garden, you can grow a flower garden. I don't know. This is probably a really unpopular opinion. This is probably a really controversial episode. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate for it, but I don't know. That's my opinion. If you want to sell your flowers year one before never even growing for them, you go right ahead. I think you can do it. Jumping into selling flowers your first year, if that's what you want to do, I just don't think there's a lot of risk to it. I think you can go ahead and go for it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written blog form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then, of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.